This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome into hour number two of The Big Show. If you missed anything in hour number one, just go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, and check out everything that you missed as we had a fun and spirited discussion going on. Just kind of basically hemming and hawing a little bit before we got into a little bit of Rockets. Plenty more to get to as we get into hour number two. Of course, Sigmund Bloom will be coming up at the bottom of the hour here to be talking about some fantasy football, answering your questions. As we always tell you, you can text or tweet those questions now, and I'll stack them up and get them ready for a rapid fire. But if you do want to talk to Sigmund directly, call right before the 2:30 break, and we'll get you in. Cody Stutes, speaking of getting you in, day two of the Stutes experiment has been going well, as we like to go to the pen with a closer, and Cody comes in and helps us out when Barry is doing comedy, as Barry is doing this week and might be doing next week as well. So we'll keep you posted on who's going to be in next week, but Cody's going to finish the week strong here for us yesterday, today, and tomorrow in Beaumont at Luke's Ice House on Calder Avenue. So you 409ers, get off my ass. I said Avenue.
I did the little maps thing to see how long it would take me and everything this morning.
It's going to take you a while.
It will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so close to Louisiana that I'm contemplating just, you know, keep on going for a little night of
gambling.
That's
your kind of thing, too. You're one of those degenerates.
No, I wouldn't say that I'm a degenerate. I just like to, sneak over and, you know, prove to Texas that they're missing out on all that money I would spend if we had gambling.
Now, Nick, here's the thing. Exactly what you were talking about is exactly what Luke's Ice House is, but it's an indoor-outdoor. So it's got a great outdoor setting, as you know, but you can find the relief of going indoors if you need to. Plus, they have heat lamps. So if you were going out this weekend, would you not go and participate because of the fact that they have heat lamps so that you don't have to worry about the cold weather coming in?
I've been to Luke's. I would totally go to Luke's.
I know you've been there, but I'm saying in Houston, if you go out Friday, Saturday night, do the heat lamps make enough of a difference? You said
if you're standing right next to it, I feel like it does. But if you're standing any more than like 3 or 4 feet away from the heat lamp, I guess it depends on the heat lamp. But I've been to a couple of places where they'll have a heat lamp, and it's really not that functional. So it just kind of depends, you know? I'm a wuss when it comes down to cold weather. I can't help.
I had a buddy of mine that was like Greek, but he had like a fro, and he mistakenly got too close to one of those heat lamps one night.
Oh, no.
He got the Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial treatment. Yeah, he had a product in his hair, and it was also all of a sudden we looked at him, we all got bug-eyed. He's like, "What the hell's wrong with you guys?" We're like, "You might want to get like we're throwing like our drinks on his head and everything like that." Like, whoosh, he got like a built-in baboon's ass on the back of his head because the hair just went whee! It was gone.
You can't really stop, drop, and roll if your head's on fire either.
No. And we said you could sue the bar if you wanted to, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not that kind of guy." I was like, "Dude, you almost went prematurely bald, and it wasn't because of genetics.
I'm not that kind
of
guy."
Terrible.
Oh, I guess you are the kind of guy that rolls around with a ball. Looks like the HEB guy in the Deshaun Watson commercial got the little missing part on his hair.
Scott McClellan?
Yeah, you know when they do the Watson pretends to throw the football so fast.
Oh,
Like a racing streak in his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised the girl that got ran over at the Astros game didn't sue the Astros.
Oh, for that cart?
Yeah, when she got ran over by the car. I think she was one of the cheerleaders, but yeah, she completely got mauled by that cart.
Yeah, I've seen that happen a couple times.
A lot of those places get to those people before, and it's like, "Hey, if we can keep the lawyers out of this."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll do this and that. Absolutely.
Here's a check and a contract saying you will say nothing.
Apparently she was cool about it, but I wouldn't be that nice. But yeah, I'm surprised she didn't break any bones, or maybe she did and I didn't hear about it, but it was a bad, she got ran over.
Oh, I slipped in a casino in Vegas one time, and...
Oh, God, that must have been a sight.
Sober, or were you under the influence?
Well, yeah, I'd had a few. But the floor was wet, and there was no sign, and I knew it was wet because when I hit the ground, my back got wet.
You sure you just weren't sweating?
There's a great
just
chance.
Just asking, man.
You know what?
Just asking.
There's a great chance that I might have been. But
see?
I slipped right in front of a guy that worked at the casino, and I said, it's wet right here. And he just looked at me. He didn't say anything. And I was like, dude, can I get some free chips or something?
And what did they do? Bring you nachos?
Nothing. He stared right at me. And I said, I'm not going to do anything because I'm leaving, but you're not getting any of my money. And he just stared at me. And I wonder if it was one of those things where like he just wasn't supposed to say anything.
Well, I'm sure you're not, because if he's the only witness, they're going to expect that he's not going to testify on your behalf.
True.
If he wants to keep his employment.
I was fired up, though.
Dude, you should have taken them to the cleaners.
Oh, I know. I wasn't.
If you had other witnesses besides that guy, you know what I'd have done, Nick? I'd have called and hammered him for $9,000.
And you can request video footage all day.
Oh, and you know they got surveillance all over that joint. And it's not like you're the guy that they can't find in the crowd. I mean, especially if you're doing snow angels on the marble floor. Come on, man. That was a cash cow waiting for you.
It was a new casino, too. They just opened. They probably did not need that bad press.
Wow.
I missed out,
Cody Stutes, you blew that.
I just wanted like a free match my bet play.
But that's not the route you take.
I know.
You take, I want the suite with the hot tub and the view on top of it.
Hey, man,
and they're willing to do that kind of stuff. They know what they're in for if you go out and pursue that.
I was inebriated and mad, and we were on our way out anyway, so I wasn't smart enough to make it work.
You would have been more inebriated, less mad, and taken care of had you just been a little smarter with the way you handled that.
True.
Did you have any friends that looked halfway intelligent and sober?
No.
See, that hurts.
Intelligent, yes. Sober, no.
That hurts you. Because if you got someone that could just even put on some fake glasses and start walking around asking questions, they freak the hell out. They will go right at whatever they can do to help make your experience enjoyable.
Everybody been calling me Mr. Stutes for the next 2 days.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Mr. Stutes, do you need another Colorado Bulldog? Yes, I do.
Yep, you would have had more manners get thrown your way than any kind of prep school. I'm just telling you right now, they would have been kissing your ass. By the way, Jerry has chimed in only to tell me that Derrick Rose was more than just an MVP candidate. He won the MVP. I said he won the damn MVP, Jerry.
Which Jerry are we talking about?
Yeah, Jerry, it says, nice to see him balling. Well, we know you're not because you went knee-to-knee with some clown trying to do something
Jerry.
You can't do. Yeah, Jerry is torn ACL.
You told me.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of time. He's spending a lot of couch time. He's putting the indentation in the cushion, if you know what I mean.
I live that life.
So what'd you say the Rockets were favored tonight?
Rockets were, so no like official announcement on Westbrook, but we all think he's not playing.
If you saw the injury and he didn't play last night, you got to believe that's a week or two because he really rolled that thing over.
4.5 points is just how much the Rockets are favored on the trip to OKC. I got to imagine with no Russell Westbrook, this thing could get pretty ugly.
Harden has never had great success when he goes back to OKC, though he wants to have it. But I'll say this. I think because they know they've got ground to make up and because Westbrook's out, I can see the Rockets winning by 9+.
Okay.
I don't like people that bet on, and I'm not telling anybody what to do. I think it's betting on the NBA is a crapshoot, but I think the Rockets win by 9 or more tonight. Nick, you?
I think they should, especially if Gordon decides to play. I think they should win by at least 9 points.
Can you even just begin to predict what Barkley will have to say at halftime if for some reason the Rockets aren't leading at halftime by like a big margin?
Terrible.
What the blubbering mess that's going to come out of his mouth
don't
about
get
this
me started.
Team.
Don't get me started, because you can tell you don't realize that that's my boy.
That's his boy.
I'm just saying, the Rockets have to play like perfect basketball or Barkley's going to crush them.
Well, you can blame Toad Smith for that, because that's what he calls Tad Brown. But you can blame Daryl Morey and Tad Brown if you want to know why he's a little bit edgy when the two tattletales tried to get him in trouble for being honest in the past when they thought that they were being funny, taking shots at him, and then he one-upped him on the air, and then they wanted to make him apologize.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically, that talk about laying in your own bed, that's what the bed you made.
No, here's the thing. I think Chuck's the most entertaining basketball voice around.
But see, that's the thing. That's their shtick. You know, Barry always talks about how that's, we got some of our shticks. And so some of the things that we say, people believe like we, you know, we live by that. And that's what, no, that's part of the shtick we do on the air. But part of that that people miss in the whole interpretation of what TNT does in the studio is they're trying to be entertainers. They're trying to be funny as well as informative. That's why people tune in after really bad late games to watch the show.
Oh, yeah. I used to hate Shaq on that show, and now he's much better.
He's better?
He's still not great. He's hard to understand sometimes.
The presentation is what I would be working on.
He's a mumbler.
And well, but he's also, like you said, he's very deliberate, and he kind of, I would think that you guys don't know. Charles, don't. Yeah, you just like, come on, just spit it out. I'm with you. All right, we're you're with us, and we appreciate that. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. We'll be back with a whole lot more.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out, so Cody Stutes is in as we continue on The Usual Suspects on a Thursday in the big city. It's Nick in studio as well as yours truly, Joel Blank, as we are going to welcome in Sigmund Bloom at 2:30 to talk a little fantasy football. Before that, let's talk a little bit of football, boys. We got a game tonight to talk about. We've got the Steelers at home who are kind of getting it all together as they host the Carolina Panthers. To me... And Le'Veon Bell was seen. I don't know if you guys saw the antics on social media last night, but first someone got video of him at a local Pittsburgh workout place that he was in town and he was working out. And then it was like, why hasn't he reported yet? And what do you think the Steelers should do? Right now, even if he showed up, I'd tell him to go back home. And if you got to pay him the rest of the year and just deal with it, fine. But you got off to a slow start because there was too much attention being made of his holdout and then the after effects. They're playing good football right now. To me, and I've said this, aside from the Chiefs and the Patriots, I think they're the third team in the AFC that could actually get to the Super Bowl. I wouldn't want him. It's just more of a distraction than it's worth right now. And you don't know sure, he said he's been working out. You don't know what he brings to the table. You know he doesn't want to get hurt before he goes on, become a full-blown free agent. I'm trying to stay away from that.
So the news coming out today and just the conversation and the rumors associated with Bell coming out today makes it seem like he's done, like never going to show up this season, not going to show
up
at all.
He's just going to take the L on all the money?
He's going to take an L on all the money. So tell me how crazy this sounds. The rumor is that Bell and his agent didn't realize that next year his franchise tag would be $25 million and that there's no way the Steelers would do that.
Right.
So they didn't know that. They were unaware that that was going to be the franchise tag next year, and that played into their decision on sitting out and coming back, not coming back. Like, his agent didn't know the rules of the franchise tag.
That's where you fire your agent immediately. That's one of those deals that you can never make up that money that you're going to lose. He should not be his agent any further, for one.
Correct.
And you should take him out in the back alley and whoop his ass.
So, I want to tell you this story because there is a very famous NFL general manager who recently used the franchise tag on his star player. In the past few years. It was in a meeting with that star player and that star player's agent that the GM realized that the player would make more money getting franchise tagged 3 years in a row than what this general manager was offering him. And he didn't know the rules of the franchise tag. Like, he didn't know what he was doing when
the agent didn't, or no, the GM
the
didn't?
The GM.
Well, that's just inexcusable. I understand if that's John Lynch because you're making the transition from player to GM.
I'm trying to guess who he's talking about, but I can't.
Wrong last name.
So I got the first part right, John? I'm trying to guess that, but that Freddie Mercury isn't in the equation, what you just did. Charlie Casserly?
Nope.
We'll have to kick that one around.
A few years ago. And then once the GM realized that the franchise tag would eventually be super beneficial to the player, he went and made that player the highest paid player ever on defense.
Okay.
It was John Elway.
Oh, Elway.
Elway didn't know how the franchise tag worked with Von Miller.
Von Miller. Okay.
Because they tagged him, and then later in the summer, they signed him. Made him the highest paid defensive player ever.
Yep.
He didn't know how the franchise tag worked.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because he doesn't know how the quarterback works when he's not the one playing it. Because the quarterbacks he's wasted picks and trades and money on. Oh, my goodness.
Can I give you a franchise tag prediction?
Mm-hmm.
That will be a gigantic sticking point in the next collective bargaining agreement.
I can see that.
And the owners continue to just stack up all this leverage on the players because players are going to want lax marijuana rules. Players are going to want a change to the franchise tag. And meanwhile, while the owners are giving all that up, the players are just going to keep giving up money.
Yeah, and the thing is, and we've talked about this in the past too, it's crazy that the guaranteed money in sports is all in baseball and basketball, but the guys that put their bodies on the line and get more abuse to their bodies, not only while they're playing, but after they're done, are the guys that have the least amount of guaranteed money and contracts in their sport. That is a travesty to me because there are so many guys that, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, I gave it all when I played, but to realize by doing that, you gave yourself zero chance of having an enjoyable life and the flexibility to do whatever you wanted to do once you got out of football. That's terrible.
Oh, the players are going to get, they got taken to the house on the last one. The stuff that I believe they're going to make a heavy focus is going to have them getting taken to the house even more again. I'm really worried.
So you don't think they should argue too much for lax marijuana rules and some of the stuff that they're arguing for?
I'm just saying if they argue for that, the owner's give back is going to be that, and then what the owners take is going to be worth way more than lax marijuana rules and a change to the franchise tag.
Where are we on that, too? Because we've had several players come out and say the positive benefits of marijuana in the recovery process is something that they can be a game changer. And we know that states are legalizing it more and more. But just from the overall, when we worry about, we know that the owners worry so much about image and all the different things that takes money out of their pockets or tarnishes the image of the shield and the individual team logos. You think that they're going to let that slide?
Maybe not. And it is still 32 primarily older males thinking about it. And that is a demographic that is not very forward thinking on marijuana. And maybe that's one of the things that the players don't get, and then they can get a little bit more cash on the back end.
Well, because you
or
know,
taken care of after football,
it's going to
like
be
that.
An issue. But if they're been there is the, if they're open to gambling and all of that with you know daily fantasy and all the different aspects, now the MGM is getting involved and all the casinos are getting involved in sponsor. They should be just as open, especially if it means that your players are going to have more a quicker recovery and longevity because of it.
I mean, but with the gambling factor, there's a cut, there's money involved. You're not really gaining anything financially by being lax with marijuana rules. So I feel like with gambling, it kind of motivates them a little bit more, brings them a little bit more incentive. But
and there's not the negativity associated with it like there is, like you said, from the starchy white crowd on marijuana.
Right. And Nick brings up a good point. The owners, whatever they give back, they're going to need to see some financial benefit to it, you know, because if they get rid of or alter or change drastically the franchise tag, the owners are going to want to know, okay, well, how do I keep my star player longer? You know, do I get, you know, a change to the franchise tag or do I get to change part of their contract or like automatic kick-ins that keeps a guy an extra year? Like, it's going to be really weird in a couple of years when they sit down and start negotiating this thing. There's going to be a lot of stuff, a lot more than last time that they got to.
We got a couple calls to get to before we get to Sigmund Bloom. Juan wants to get in here. You know that's normally meaning the Steelers are on his mind. Juan, what's up?
Yeah, it's about the Steelers. Hey, first of all, you'd have to redefine what your hero is if he's part of an organization that's okay with marijuana. But to my point, or why I'm calling, I don't know if you've heard, because I get news updates on the Steelers about Antonio Brown speeding.
Yeah.
And getting arrested or whatnot. I was going to call and ask about the mental aspect of the game with all that's already been done, said and done with Le'Veon Bell. Is their head still in it? I just was about to say I'm confident that we'll make the playoffs, but then Antonio Brown slips up. So just your comments on the mental aspect of my Steelers. I'll listen off air. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
I don't worry about the mental aspect at all. I think that's one of those things where, you know, it wasn't drugs. It wasn't domestic violence. It wasn't, you know, like breaking the law to the standpoint of violence involved.
And, it was stupid.
And criminal charge. Yeah. He's going 100 in like a 45 mile an hour speed zone in a Porsche or whatever it was. So, Tyler said there happened to be a bank robbery going on in the area. They didn't know if that was associated because someone was going so fast in that area. But overall, I'm sure they'll sort it out quickly. And I'm sure by the time he gets to the stadium tonight, it's all going to be forgotten.
And look, you know, I mean, that doesn't say that he's mentally unfocused. They're in the middle of a four-game win streak, looking to make it five in a row with the Panthers at home tonight. That's
you know what that says to me? He was late for practice. I mean, it's just my first gut reaction. Yeah, you know, because a lot of guys push it to the limit and wait to the last minute, and then if traffic's there, something like that, they don't want to be late because you get fined for that.
You know, just further cementing that I believe DeAndre Hopkins is better than Antonio Brown. Hopkins, you see him on the Instagram driving in, like 6 o'clock in the morning, getting to practice, getting in there early, getting his work.
Well, that determines who's better. Okay. Well, if that's the barometers we're using, then the research that we put in on a daily basis makes us the number one show in the entire city, Nick. Congratulations. Way to go.
Good job, you guys.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Just don't bring us down in the next couple days. All right, so Sigmund Bloom is on deck. He's coming up next. Fantasy football questions. Justin's got the right idea. He's already called in with a question for Sigmund. If you don't want to hear your voice on the air, then give us a text or a tweet. Other than that, start calling now. Sigmund Bloom's next. Fantasy football coming up for the next segment on The Usual Suspects.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? And what's going on? It's fantasy football time on The Usual Suspects. With 90 in the books and 90 still to go in the big show, you know on Thursdays that means it's time to do you the biggest favor of all and help you with your fantasy football. With that being said, there is only one guru in our minds to be the guy to answer your questions and tell you what you need to know from fantasy football. It is our man, Sigmund Bloom. You can find him on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. He's also the co-owner of footballguys.com, which is a great website to follow where he occasionally will do chats and things and does his best to answer your questions there as well. But while we have him here, we always try and get as many questions in as possible so that you guys can look smart come tonight through Sunday. Sigmund, as always, we appreciate the time. Hope all is well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're watching some injury situations, but mainly we're looking ahead to the fantasy playoffs and trying to make that final push. And you know, certainly, just like the teams in the NFL, you know, we're feeling the pressure now as we get later in the season.
So what stands out for you that are big stories heading into this week in the season? You mentioned we're starting to get to crunch time. We're getting around the playoffs. A lot of people with a lot of questions about guys like Marcus Mariota. But what's on your mind in terms of things guys really should make sure they notate coming into the weekend?
Yeah, well, we've just got some injury situations to watch. Sammy Watkins and that foot. And so anytime you hear a foot in Sammy Watkins, you're worried there. So it could open up some opportunity for Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson this week against Arizona. We're also looking at Washington's offensive line disintegrating. So that great story about Adrian Peterson's looking like one that we're going to get a lot of mileage out of for the rest of the season. Another thing people should be thinking about right now is stashing those backup running backs in great situations on their benches. So players like Spencer Ware in Kansas City, Malcolm Brown for Los Angeles, C.J. Anderson in Carolina, Nyheim Hines in Indianapolis. These are all players that we know the running back injuries pile up as the season goes on. These running backs come in with fresh legs, and the backup running backs can often be the key to winning your championship.
There you go. Good tips from Sigmund, as always. We'll start with the phone lines, as promised. Trevor, you're up first. What's up on your mind?
Oh, what's up, fellas? Sigmund, the people really appreciate you. Real quick, I'm looking at Jared Cook or O.J. Howard, Cobb or Tate, and Bills or Eagles defense. Thanks, guys.
O.J. Howard's got to be the guy. We saw him and Ryan Fitzpatrick hooking up. Jared Cook, I don't want to trust any Raider if I can. And I think it was the Bills or Eagles defense.
That's what I thought. I heard him say yes.
Yeah, and I like the Eagles this week. You know, we saw a short week. Dak Prescott, really the air went out of the balloon for the Cowboys there. The Eagles defense is always a lot tougher at home.
Does anybody like anything Bills these days? I don't know how you can.
Yeah.
Josh, you're up next. What's up?
Hey, Sigmund. I got a flex question for PPR. I've got David Johnson, Tyler Boyd, and Julian Edelman.
I'll go with David Johnson here. Byron Leftwich was calling a lot more downfield passes and outside runs for David Johnson. Kansas City has a lot of trouble stopping the run. I don't think Arizona's going to give up if they fall behind two or three touchdowns in this one. I would expect a big game for David Johnson heading into a big second half of the season for him. And also, I think Tyler Boyd might be a little overrated with A.J. Green. That's been opening up a lot and giving him good matchups. I don't know that Tyler Boyd's going to live up to expectations if A.J. Green's not out there.
Okay, Dave, you're up next. Let's go.
Hey, Sigmund. It's do or die weekend for me. It's kind of my Super Bowl. I'm in a PPR league. I have Josh Gordon, Amari Cooper, Marvin Jones, and Sammy Watkins. I need to play three of them.
Yeah, Watkins is the easy one to bench here, even though he's even if he plays that footage, you could slow him down. There's so many other weapons there. I'd put Watkins on the bench, and I do think it could be a great week for Josh Gordon. I think the fuse has been lit now, and we might see Tom Brady give him a lot of chances every week.
Mr. Vega, go.
Yes, I received a trade offer on a standard league. They're offering me Mike Evans and the Ravens defense for Le'Veon Bell. What are your thoughts on that?
Take it.
Look, I think that at this point, every day, every passing hour, we see the odds going up that Le'Veon Bell isn't going to play. It's almost like the team is constructing a narrative for him to be able to duck out. They don't want him. He doesn't want to play. Now this thing that's come out that he might be able to get a quarterback franchise tag next year makes it seem like this is just a sensible thing for them to go their separate ways without Bell taking the field for them. So I think Bell's the trade. You get rid of him for whatever you can get.
Raimundo, you're up next. Go.
Hey, guys, my fantasy question is three black men or a multi-race gangbang?
See, Sigmund, sometimes you try, you give until it hurts, and then they hurt you with that. Justin, let's try and get away from that one as quickly as possible. Justin, what's up?
I got a two flex PPR question. Baldwin, Larry Fitz, Gronk, Ridley, I need two.
Larry Fitzgerald's going to have a big second half, and he should have a great matchup this week against Kansas City. And I really like Calvin Ridley and the whole offense, really, for Atlanta this week. Cleveland's defense is decimated, and Atlanta's coming in red hot.
Darren, you're up next. Go!
What's going on? I got a flex question. Doug Baldwin or Adam Humphries?
Ooh, Baldwin missed practice yesterday with a groin injury, so I want to watch his practice participation. As long as we see him get in a full practice before the end of the week, I love the matchup against the Rams. It should be a high-scoring game, but you have Humphries in your back pocket in case it looks like Baldwin's going to have trouble going. So Baldwin, unless he's hurt.
Jeremy, go ahead.
Yes, I just traded Tariq Cohen for Big Ben. I have Zeke, Mixon, and White, and my quarterback situation was Andy Dalton. Do you think that was a good trade?
Yes, getting Big Ben is fantastic right now. You can look ahead to his schedule, and you've got New Orleans in Week 16. That should be a very high-scoring game. But even before that, you have Oakland and New England, Weeks 14 and 15. So Roethlisberger is absolutely one of the playoff quarterbacks I want.
If you traded Jared Cook for Tariq Cohen, is that a move that you can get some success out of?
Sure, because look, I don't want to count on any Las Vegas, Oakland Raider, any of the Raiders in any of their forms. And with Chicago, I know that Tariq Cohen is not been getting a lot of work, but looking ahead, if the weather's okay in Chicago, the Rams and the Packers come to town in weeks 14 and 15, and those are matchups that are going to require Chicago's offense to come out of their shell. That usually means more Tariq Cohen.
Will Golladay get a lot more looks now with Golden Tate out?
Well, maybe, but are they going to be quality looks? Because the Detroit offense looks like a turtle on its back now without Golden Tate. And Marvin Jones I still trust, but I don't know if I trust Kenny Golladay. And looking ahead to the playoffs, Detroit's going to have matchups against Buffalo and Minnesota, including outdoors in Buffalo in Weeks 15 and 16. So I'm not sure that Kenny Golladay is going to live up to our hopes this year.
Okay, and Bryant, you got a call. Let's go.
Half-point PPR, I got to play Deion Lewis, Gordon, Josh Gordon, or Marlon Mack, two of the three.
Gordon should be in there, and I would play Marlon Mack as long as he has a good week of practice, but you know the early results coming out of the bye give us a little bit of worry, and so Lewis is there as the backup to Mack. If it looks like he's dicey, a game-time decision, then you would go to Lewis.
Got a tweet. Where are you on Trubisky? They have Watson on bye week and want to know if that's a good fill-in.
It's solid. I mean, if Chicago can control the game like they did last week, then Trubisky might not be a great play. He was cut down at the goal line on a run, or he would have been a better play last week. So I think you could do worse. You know, looking at my rankings, I'd say maybe, of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick. But if he's not out there, maybe Marcus Mariota, just because he's going to be asked to do a lot to keep up with New England. Maybe Alex Smith. This is one of those who sucks more. Alex Smith behind a terrible offensive line or Tampa Bay's pass defense. But otherwise, I got Trubisky there, my number 16 quarterback this week. His running ability should make him a safe play.
Thank you, my friend. Tell everybody how to reach you now that we're running out of time and they still have questions.
Sure. Yeah, I'm at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. I do a thread in the Football Guys message board. I answer questions up until game time. We do 9 episodes of my podcast, The Audible, every week. We write a ton of articles for Football Guys subscribers. And also we have our apps, The Waiver Wire and Trade Dominator, The Lineup Dominator, so you can get our collective brain power looking over your shoulder.
Nothing wrong with that. And as always, we appreciate it on Thursdays here on The Usual Suspects. Sigmund, have yourself a great weekend, and thanks for giving the guys some knowledge.
Thanks, my pleasure.
There you go, Sigmund Bloom. We always appreciate him on the show because he has everything that you need to know leading into, how about the one guy that said his Super Bowl is like already?
Well, he's probably got a bad record, and this game is super important for him. So
you think just like get in?
To make it to the playoffs? Yeah. That's what it sounded like, yeah.
Man, okay.
Halfway through the season.
Well, I mean, it seems like it's a little early.
Maybe it's one of those matchups with his buddy who he like has a bet with, and he has to win, or like loser gets a tattoo or something.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. When people do fantasy football and they're worried about like the loser has to get a tattoo, then I'm out. I'm just not doing it. It's not that important, kids. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to head to break, and then we're going to get to more stuff that you guys need to know and know about. And one thing I do need to know, you guys need to know, is the fact that Gallery Furniture is there for you. If you're ever in the market for furniture for any room in your house, it's got to be Gallery, because, look, they take care of the people of Houston, Texas, the way Mac takes care of people when they're in a time of need in this city. He also wants you to know he's got 3 locations to better serve you, and Gallery Furniture is there to help. They have the location at Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. They have the location in the Galleria, and they have the mainstay I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Which, regardless of which one of the 3 locations you go to, you can go all the way till 10 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, because they want to have hours that better serve you. If you buy something at Gallery Furniture, the finance department is going to work on the payment plan, and when you have the best time to be having those bills show up in your box so that you can pay them and they don't become a hindrance to you. And also, more so than anything else, everything they say in commercials is everything that they're going to do. That means if you buy today, you get it tonight. There's no back order slips, no waiting around months on end, hoping the furniture comes in that you wanted before relatives start coming in for the holidays and such. It'll be there the same day within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, delivered to your door. When the delivery people are there, if you want things taken away or rearranged, they're there to help. They'll do that too. Also, you need to realize the fact that it's all solid wood American-made furniture from brands like Stickley and Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster. Whether you want leather or upholstered furniture and anything for any room in the house, Gallery has it. It doesn't come with instructions and assembly requirements. It's going to come, and it's going to last, and it's going to be everything that you need in furniture for your house. The best thing that Mac always tells you as well is what they stress on a daily basis, and it's not just a marketing campaign, it's a way of doing business. That means if you buy from Gallery Furniture, Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show. If you missed Raymundo, that means Nick did one hell of a job keeping trash off and hot garbage off the air. So we made sure that for the second day in a row that the amateur hour wasn't a part of the show. So that we had gotten text messages to say supportive things such as that. So, Raymundo, there's other stations that have the time of day to deal with crap like that. But we appreciate Sigmund Bloom. Sorry about the fact that we had so many phone calls today, gang. And we know how we do it. We set the rules up for you for a reason. We try to get the calls because they take the time and effort to do those things. You get us the advanced text messages, and we do our best. But if you can't get to Sigmund during the segment, always go to footballguys.com or to his Twitter account. And he's great about answering questions like the ones you brought our way. Without that,
is that the most calls you've ever had for Sigmund?
Or
you've
Nick, they're normally.
They're almost always, except for that one, the first time that you were here. That was kind of a slow week, but usually it's.
I've been on Thursdays before, and it's been seemingly pretty slow on the.
It's kind of hot and cold. You know, it depends. And a lot of people, because they're going, you know, they're on the road and they're doing things, like if they're not in their car, and they will text in or tweet in the questions early. But, you know, for the most part, it's like. You know, you do your best, but with only one segment, you realize that, hey, half the reason why we bring him on is to answer your questions. The other half is if we don't get to your questions and you're always sitting there on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning trying to figure out what to do, you have an outlet that can help you pretty quickly and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's so many people that are charging for this stuff these days that we're just trying to be as accommodating as possible.
What would be the weirdest thing you were an expert in that you could charge people to talk about? Maybe not even weird, but just like... You know a lot about X, so people would pay you to know.
Having
about
multiple
it.
Dogs in the same household?
Oh,
I don't know. Oh,
actually, yeah, I think
you're
that
totally
you,
good.
You could yeah. clean up
I'm
doing
saying,
that.
I'm just trying to be realistic
yeah.
about it. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Nick, what would yours be?
Green smoothies.
Green. I mean, I don't really have any skills, honestly.
How to put a lid on it with saran wrap?
Well, you won't get any education out of me with that. Look, I'm too cheap. I like the saran wrap, but yeah. I mean, I'm not big on...
You know what? Sounds like yours would be saving money.
Probably true.
So I saw this. ESPN has put out a lot of stuff during the Texans' bye week, kind of like midseason awards and everything to look at. And our friend Sarah Barshot put out an article on the Texans to say, at the midway point, what are the grades you're giving out? And what are the areas that you were looking at? She said with the first half rewind, the way Houston dug itself out of the 0-3 hole and have bounced back. Their grade is above average for a 6-3 record at the midway point. The biggest factor for the Texans making a deep playoff run, in her opinion, is the defense wasn't this good before, but now they are. They're ranked number one in the NFL in 2016, but now they feel they finally have their defense playing right at the same time that Deshaun Watson is playing back at the level he was before he was hurt, and she thinks that the balance helps them immensely. In her opinion, MVP, DeAndre Hopkins.
Sure.
So that's pretty much a no-brainer there for a lot of people. I would say JJ has to be an outside candidate for that simply because of the fact he's in the top three in sacks.
Nine sacks, nine games.
No one knew that he was going to be anywhere near what he was before the injuries, especially this last one, which was supposed to be pretty devastating.
So I have this up on SportsMap. I went and did some digging on Pro Football Focus about the Texans. I kind of looked at them. Usually I do like a weekly one, like how they do in the last game and then an opponent coming up. But with the bye week, I went and dove into just some season-long stuff. And J.J. Watt, now again, I don't think Pro Football Focus is like the Bible or anything, but it's a good reference point and a good asset to have. J.J. Watt is the 8th ranked defender in football for overall defensive grade. 8th ranked defender. That is insanity when you think about where he's been. 8th ranked. And then the crazy part about that is Kareem Jackson's tied with him. They have the same exact defensive grade. They're both 8th overall. You're talking about two of the top 10
defenders. I just did a video for SportsMap this morning where we were pulling stats, and they pulled the stat that said Kareem Jackson overall ranking is 3rd for defensive backs when you factor everything in.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Nobody would have said that going into this season.
No way.
3rd for defensive backs when you factor in everything. And then here's another fun one for you from Pro Football Focus. You know who the best tackler in football is?
Got to be Kareem Jackson. Well, what I've seen, you know that I'm right. He's tackled his ass off.
Right position, wrong player.
Matthew?
Jonathan? Nope. Jonathan Joseph?
Nope. Justin Reed.
I like that.
Justin
that dude
Reed
can play.
Is the top tackler in football, according to Pro Football Focus's tackle grade. One of the biggest knocks on Justin Reed coming out was his tackling.
That's why he slipped to the third round. Otherwise, he had a first-round grade. Ask Lance.
Top tackler in football. Two top 10 defensive players. One at safety/corner. One on the defensive line. This defense is out of its mind.
Now, let me ask you guys something then, okay? With all that being said, and you know Reed's going to be in the back end of that defense for a while, right? You got Matthew on a one-year deal. So he's going to be up. Kareem Jackson's a free agent. You bringing both those guys back?
It's getting real dicey with some of these contracts because what they do with Clowney influences everything else.
Sure.
Because if they're going to play around with Clowney and franchise tag him, then you lose the opportunity to tag Kareem. You lose the opportunity to tag Tyrann Mathieu, obviously. My estimation is, let me rephrase it. If I had to do it, here's what I'd do. I'd extend Clowney. I'd extend Mathieu.
At what price, though, for Clowney?
Whatever it takes, man.
Oh, come on, man. You can't give him Mac money or Aaron Donald money.
Then you got to let him walk.
It's possible. You might have to.
If you do that, then, I mean, I don't know how you're going to replace that.
I don't know how he's worth that amount of money that those two guys got just because of the inconsistency with his play, with his health, with all the things that you've seen with this guy and how easily distracted he can be to say, I'm not feeling it.
I'd love to sit here and tell you that you should franchise tag him and let him play one more year and have like another whole prove it thing. The dude will not show up for a franchise tag. He just won't sign it. You'll have Le'Veon Bell all over again.
We'll see how much leverage he has come the end of the season. But yeah, I think it's going to come down to that. And it might be a situation where the Texans have to sign Mathieu and give him the money that perhaps you don't want
to
give
him. Do you feel like you have to have Kareem Jackson and Tyrann Mathieu back? Both of them?
Well, Reed gives you some flexibility for sure. And again, Kareem has been hit or miss. Now, remember, everybody thought he had lost a step and wasn't the same kind of corner, so they wanted to move him to safety. He did that. Then when the need came about, he came back to corner. He has played his ass off. I'm telling you, I know what your Pro Football Focus numbers tell you, but just watching the way he tackled last week
he's
alone,
a monster.
He is fantastic in the open field and making tackles. With all that being said, he's going to get paid by somebody. Do I think he's lost a step from where he was when he came in the league? Absolutely. But he's a highly effective player that I think you'd rather have back than Kevin Johnson. Kevin Johnson, they already had picked up that option. They got to pay him $9 million for next year between the concussions and all the other injuries. Oh, man.
So with Kareem, what I would love to do for Kareem is tag him, get him that big guaranteed payday, because the likelihood that this Kareem Jackson stays around for 2 or 3 years of football is just so low. But I'd love to get him that one huge
payday. I just think the likelihood for him to be this Kareem Jackson next year is low.
That's why the tag's there, you know?
That's why I said if you got to bring one of those guys back between the two, isn't it the Honey Badger?
I think I'd just extend the Honey Badger. Just give him a contract. Safeties don't cost that much. Even if you gave him...
He's making $7 million this year. You got to believe he wants at least that.
Even if you just gave him Eric Berry's deal, which is, I think, the highest paid safety in football. If you just gave him Eric Berry's deal, I'll say this. You better get him paid before Earl Thomas signs a deal, because that'll reset the market on safeties.
Boy, the McNairs are on line one. They can't believe how you're throwing money at everybody. Just pay him and pay him. You're like Oprah. You get a check and you get a check.
You're going to have like $90 million.
You're over the cap. You're out. All right, two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show. 60 minutes on the clock and the Mappers. Join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects. And of course, if you're listening to the Suspects, it's got to be ESPN 97.5.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.